Hi, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of The World of YA, which is a new podcast that is focusing on YA literature and books. So my name is Maureen Eichner. I'm a librarian who lives and works in central Indiana, and I'm going to be the host of this podcast. I'm hoping to also have some awesome guests later on, but at least for this first episode, it's all me. So over the next 12 months, my plan is to look at different subcategories within YA, as well as having a quarterly book discussion, and we'll also be looking at some exciting new and upcoming books. So there's a list of planned topics on the website, and if you're a blogger, reader, librarian, teacher, any of or all of the above, who would like to be involved or be a guest, please do get in touch. You can find the podcast on Twitter as World of YA Pod, and I'll be doing updates about the episodes, and hopefully if you have any feedback, you can always leave it there, or you can let me know on my personal Twitter account, which is at ElvinJKnight. This episode will be a little bit longer than most of them because I'm going to talk a little bit about YA, what it is, what it isn't, and then I'm also going to talk about our first topic, which is YA romance and how awesome it is. And then at the end of the episode, I'll be talking about what I've been reading and loving recently. So find a comfy chair and a favorite beverage, and let's start. So to begin with, I wanted to talk a little bit about what YA is and isn't. So YA, of course, stands for young adult books, and they are those published for readers between the ages of about 13 to 18. So the exact age kind of depends on the publisher and the book, but that's kind of the standard. And the category really includes a lot of different genres and many different kinds of stories. So if we think about books about teenagers, they have basically been around as long as the novel has. So like Jane Austen, Elizabeth Bennet's 21, Catherine Morland is a teenager, even like the Fanny Burney or Mariah Edgeworth, a lot of the early novel writers are writing about teenagers, or what we would call teenagers today. But the term teenager itself has really only been around since about World War II, according to my research. And I think that the idea of teenagers as being like a specific, special part of a person's life, and that there are a lot of different identity questions, learning to navigate the world, I feel like that's a fairly modern concept. And that's kind of what the YA category has come out of. So, I mean, I myself and a lot of other people do love classic books that feature teenagers, but I wouldn't necessarily personally classify them as YA in the same way as more modern works. So, a lot of times when we think about really early YA, it was sort of dominated by problem novels or issue novels. And these tended to be about kind of weighty subjects like illness or divorce. And there was often this kind of heavy message to them. Now, obviously, this is a huge generalization, and it's not necessarily going to be true for all novels. Today, a lot of books do also deal with those same big issues. I think that they are more written to show the experience of teens than to teach them a lesson. And I think that's been a pretty fundamental shift away from didacticism and towards realism. Which, of course, is not at all to say that there aren't awesome earlier YA books, because there certainly are. And I also know that my own experience as a teen in the 90s, trying to read these novels and finding that they didn't have a lot of relevance or interest for me, definitely colors my perception of them. So I do tend to agree with and remember the generalizations and maybe forget specifics. And then also in the 1980s and 90s, quite a few books that today would be published as YA most likely were still being published in other categories. For instance, the ones that I kind of grew up on, Robin McKinley, Elizabeth Marie Pope, and Diana Wynne Jones, were all being published as middle grade books. And I have concerns about the creep of YA into middle grade, and I don't want to, like, pretend that that's not its own wonderful, awesome thing. But, for instance, The Blue Sword or The Perilous Guard or Howl's Moving Castle, I don't think you can really argue that those are not about teen characters and concerns and would probably be published as YA today if they're not sort of being rebranded that way already. So there's sort of an explosion from those early novels that maybe weren't in that category or that were kind of that problem novel, message-heavy book. To today, there's a huge kind of proliferation of genre and experimentation, and what we have is really people writing creatively in all different genres, and some of them are writing across genres as well. So somebody might start off writing fantasy and then write realistic fiction. But a lot of people do, as far as I can tell, kind of refer to themselves or get referred to as YA writers specifically. Which isn't to say that people don't write across different age categories, because they definitely do, and I don't want to deny that at all. But I think that a lot of times there is kind of an identity as a YA writer, and then following on from that in a certain sense, a kind of identity as a YA reader, which I think a lot of people have, maybe regardless of age, because I am firmly of the opinion that teens should be the main audience of YA. Absolutely. There are kind of anecdotally and also data-wise some sense that adults purchase a major percentage of YA books. Now, sometimes this definitely gets translated into adults being like the main readers of YA books, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, obviously, I personally am an adult who does read a lot of YA, and I don't want to deny that that is the case. But I think that it's probably more likely that some of that adult purchasing is adults purchasing books for teens, who may or may not, you know, be able to do that themselves, especially online. So anyway, taking that into account, there's clearly a lot of adults, as well as teens, who love these books and love to read it, love to write it, love to talk about it, and that is all well and good. Obviously, I myself am that person. But I think that we do also have to be careful to remember that teens are and should be the primary audience for YA, and that we should consider that and keep them in mind when reading and reviewing. So a lot of times people will say, oh, I hated this character. She was so boring. No one could ever relate to her. She just is so focused on herself. And I think sometimes those same characters can really resonate with teens who see themselves and their actual worries and joys and triumphs in these characters. But I think it's also important to remember that teens aren't a monolith any more than any other group is, and that they'll really like different things at different times and in different ways. So there is no, well, all teens like X. So I think I'm setting this forth as like kind of my biases when I'm thinking about and reading books, and also in now talking about them. So moving on to personal history for me with this category and why I find it appealing. So I think that the huge explosion in YA publishing, as I understand it, kind of came right after Twilight. And I was, I believe, 19 when Twilight was published, so I was just a little bit older than the kind of target audience. And so for me, I feel like I'm just like a millisecond ahead of the curve when it comes to the audience of kids, of people who really grew up with this whole explosion of books that were aimed for teens specifically. And I think that I, when I was an actual teen, felt very disenchanted with the books that were available to me. So I read a lot of the classics, and I read a lot of books that weren't necessarily geared for teenagers. And then when so many of them began being published, and I still felt very much a teenager at 19 and 20, and so I really felt like they were, in some sense, still being written for me, even though they weren't necessarily in that same way. And so now it's really kind of weird to know that I'm actually not the target audience anymore, and that I'm an actual adult. But in what I've found, even as an adult reader, is that a lot of times adult literary fiction especially features things that topics and kind of questions that I'm not all that interested in. I'm not invested in kind of white male navel gazing, and that's unfortunately a lot of what kind of adult fiction tends to be. And so for me, what I found is that YA books are often very inventive. They're not afraid to try new things, to do new things. They're not afraid to be kind of weird. And that also the stories tend to be kind of without any authorial, not input obviously, but the authors tend to write the stories and get out of their own way. Because teens want a story that's engaging and told well, and that is not in any way necessarily simplistic or easy, but that is told with purpose and integrity and is not kind of wrapped up in itself. And for me as a reader, I find that very appealing. So I think that that's really why I've continued to stick with reading YA. And also, I just feel like it's some of the freshest, most engaging writing out there. I don't see myself stopping anytime soon, although obviously now I am not a teenager, or even close to one at this point. I just wanted to give kind of a brief sense of what draws me to this category, because I think it's also different for a lot of different readers. You know, different readers are different people are different types of readers. They'll read for different things. Some people really love plot, some people really love characters, and some people really love big themes or epic stories. So it really varies from person to person, but I think that YA does a lot of those things, and it does a lot of them really well. And so there is something for almost every type of reader to find in this whole category. So now, having talked about that a little bit, I do want to go into talking about YA romances, because next month we're going to be reading Jenny Han's To All the Boys I've Loved Before and P.S. I Still Love You, which are two of my definite favorite kind of YA romances that have come out in the past couple of years. And so for the purpose of this episode, I'm keeping my definition of romance pretty tight. Many, and maybe even most YA books have some form of romance in them. And for readers like me, I tend to like romance that is there but isn't necessarily the focus of the story. So this is often really great because you'll be like, oh, we're saving the world, oh, and kissing. But there are also some really great YA romances out there where that romantic relationship is really at the heart of the book. So for this episode, what I'm looking at are contemporary YA books where romance is a prominent part of the plot or the main character's arc. So I'll be posting a book list along with this episode, And if you have suggestions to add, please do chime in and leave a comment there or on Twitter and let me know what your favorite YA romances are. So I'm going to highlight a couple of these really quick and then also talk about what I think people like about these books. So I think that the best of YA romances tend to do a couple of things. And so first there's this kind of rush and excitement of being young and in love. And there's just this kind of exhilaration to it that I think a lot of great YA romance books kind of really convey that really well. And second, and kind of tied into that, there's also a sense of possibilities and hopefulness. So I think a lot of adults sometimes reading these books will say, oh, well, these two people, I mean, they're in high school, there's no way this is going to last. And maybe that's true. I think that a lot of books these days, or at least some of them, even will acknowledge that. But I think that there's also a sense that this doesn't really matter. What matters is this relationship and this moment right now. And the moments that might come later take kind of a secondary importance to this. So I'm going to talk about three books that I've read in the past couple of years that I think are great examples of YA romance and what people like about it, or tend to like about it anyway. So the first one is one that I actually read quite recently, which is called Hello, Goodbye, and Everything in Between. And that is by Jennifer E. Smith. I believe this is her third or fourth book, so it's definitely not her debut. She tends to write these kind of contemporary romance-driven books. And I have enjoyed her books a lot. She's on the book list, on the post, so check it out. So I liked this one because it's set in that summer after you've graduated from high school and before you start at college. And it's really all about trying to figure out your future and your relationships with your parents, with your family. But in particular, the two main characters have been dating, I believe, since like sophomore year. And so they're trying to navigate how and if they continue their romantic relationship while they're in college across the coast. So one of them's on the East Coast and one is on the West. And this is all kind of taking place over one night where they're saying goodbye to each other. Or maybe not. They don't really know yet. And so there's just this sense of the fact that it really is hard to, A, be leaving everything behind and going somewhere completely different, to be trying to figure out all these things when you're not sure who you really are yet. And to kind of have a sense of possibilities without closing yourself off. So I found this one really interesting because it really does talk about that kind of weird transition between high school and college that I think a lot of people are going to understand and resonate with. So this is one I would definitely recommend for kind of upperclassmen or people who have just started college. I think it really will make a lot of sense, the kind of conflict and tension that's kind of at the heart of this book. And then the second one that I wanted to mention is Everything Leads to You by Nina LaCour. So I really loved this book. I read it last year, 2015. It's weird that that's last year now. So this one starts off with Emmy, who's the main character, and she's just broken up with her girlfriend. And then she finds this mysterious girl named Ava. And everything kind of changes, which is a fairly typical thing to happen in a book in general, and I feel like YA in particular. Something happens and everything changes and you kind of have to reassess your life and who you are and where you're going. But this one in particular, I feel like the characters are really strong, and that kind of Emmy's realizations and changes of heart are really nicely done. And I think it's a really awesome, fun, kind of summer romance kind of book, but is also very aware of society and, like, the issues of class and race and what that means for the different characters and how they view the world, how they interact and all this kind of stuff. So it's really smart and thoughtful and awesome. It's also a very enjoyable read, so I highly recommend that. I think more people should check it out. So the third one I wanted to talk about is Six Impossible Things by Fiona Wood. So Wood is an Australian import, and her books were actually published backwards here in the U.S. The second one, Wildlife, was published here first, and I absolutely love Wildlife. I'm not including it on this list for very important reasons that I'm not going to say, because they're horrifically spoilery for both books. And that's the reason you should start with Six Impossible Things. So I think that Wood's strength in this book is really in two places. The first one is her characters. Dan is this kind of, like, not exactly depressed, but not very happy, teenager who has had some family upheaval, and his mom is not doing great. And she's trying to start a business, and he's starting at a new school, and it's just kind of all awkward and uncomfortable and unhappy. But also, I think her Wood really shines in her narrative voice, because Dan's the narrator in this book, and she really captures kind of his inner anxieties, but also how much he cares about the people in his life. So his best friend, his mom, this girl that he really likes and would like to date, but he doesn't really know how to go about this. And also in both books, in Wildlife and Six Impossible Things, she really nails how smart teenagers talk, which is surprisingly rare, because a lot of times people either sound super pretentious or else, like, just not, it often doesn't ring true to me. But in this case, there's this kind of, like, fun with words and with wordplay, with references, but also, like, it's slightly obnoxious in a very realistic way. So I loved that. So I guess this episode was not as long as I was afraid it was going to be. I did not kind of do a test run to see. But I do want to talk about a couple of books that I've read. Both of these are fantasy, which I personally tend to be very drawn to. So I will often, probably when I'm talking about what I've been reading recently, be talking about fantasy or maybe sci-fi. So I have, the first one I wanted to talk about is Dream Strider by Lindsay Smith. I believe this is her third book. She had Secret and Scandal, and then this one is a totally different world and setup, but it is a very interesting book. I don't think it is necessarily, like, a perfect book, but I found that the idea of the world and the dream striding was really interesting and engaging. I liked the characters. They were not necessarily, like, my super, super favorites, but I think that other readers will definitely maybe not be have quite that same reaction. But basically, the main character is a girl who can, when she dreams, she can walk through this dream world and kind of affect reality. She can be another person and, like, physically move their body. But it's also very dangerous for her, and she's helping the government, but it's kind of this perilous time politically, and so she doesn't really know, like, that aspect of it is dangerous as well. So I found this one, like I said, very engaging in terms of, like, the concept of the dream striding, and I would be interested to see if there's another book in this world coming out, because I think it would be very interesting. And then the second one that I wanted to talk about is E.K. Johnston's A Thousand Nights. So this is her third book. I've read all three and really loved them, so she's definitely a go-to author for me at this point. And A Thousand Nights is a kind of loose retelling of 1001 Arabian Nights, the Scheherazade story. And I really was interested in what Johnston did with this story because she doesn't attempt to romanticize it at all. It's not the sort of thing where, like, she, I don't know, kind of a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing where she falls in love with her captor and then they live happily ever after. It is very much about family and about what makes us who we are, kind of where we, it pays a lot of attention to where we come from and what shaped us. And it's also about kind of the power of stories and the power of female relationships. So the main character is an unnamed narrator, and she is very driven by her relationship with her sister, who she loves very much, and with her father's two wives, so her mother and her sister's mother, who are themselves best friends and who are both very important to her. And then also with the mother of the king, who has been going around and marrying girls from different villages. So I really found this one very fascinating, and it's has a lot about different crafts, handicrafts, and the kind of women's work, so to speak. And it really gives them a place of honor and even, in a certain sense, power. So I really, really liked this one, and I would recommend it to people who like a character-driven story and who like the idea of maybe taking a fairy tale and telling it, not just like retelling it, but kind of playing with the themes and the messages that might be part of that. So that is all for this episode, and as I said, next time we'll be talking about Jenny Han's To All the Boys I've Loved Before and P.S. I Still Love You. If you are interested in being a guest for that show, please do let me know. I have an open slot at this point, would be happy to have someone step in and be a guest. So thank you for listening, and have a great month.